In addition to this, when we're drafting, we want to create as much flexibility as possible. So I would say putting in a provision for decanting or a provision that would allow modification to address problems that may arise. It might have been a problem created by the way the trust was initially drafted, but it also could be a problem that comes up because laws have changed, the beneficiary's needs are different, government benefits have been changed in some fashion. And so decanting could be a very helpful tool to allow you to take the existing trust and basically move those trust assets into a new trust with the appropriate provisions. So there are, I believe, 29 states, more or less, in the country that allow for decanting. And so you would want to understand the decanting rules in your jurisdiction and what you can do and when you cannot use decanting. You should also be looking at whether there are any state laws that allow for decanting allow for amending the trust. So here in New York, for example, we have EPTL 7-1.9. And if we meet those requirements, we can amend the trust. And so the trustee, if they see that there's some issue inside the trust instrument, they shouldn't put their head in the sand, hope it doesn't come back to hurt them, or limit them from really what's the most important point, which is taking care of the beneficiary, doing right by the beneficiary, maximizing their quality of life. And so don't put your head in the sand. Look at ways of being able to fix these issues as they may arise and accessing the professional, the attorney who can help look at decanting. Another way of going at this issue, which would be the last point I'd like to cover, which is allowing the providing for a trust protector. And so I know some of my colleagues don't like the trust protector world and would steer away from it. We've, in our practice, have embraced it. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but basically it's appointing a third party to be with certain powers that will allow them to act in a way that impacts what the trustee is capable of doing or what provisions are inside that trust instrument that are empowering the trustee. So, for example, if you have a trust protector named, that trust protector could perhaps remove and replace a trustee. And that may be a good provision to have because a trustee may be suited today to do the job, but may not be in the future. Allow that trustee to fix typos, errors, mistakes. Allow them to amend the trust in a technical way because there have been changes in the law or how government benefits are working. There is, though, a concern whether a trust protector becomes a fiduciary and then is held to a higher standard. And so you would have to look at the laws in your state as to how trust protectors are being treated and what those responsibilities are. So I'm going to pass this with 9 seconds left on my 10 minutes.
Oh, and I'm going to use those up. I want to bring in some of the highlights of the written materials that bear on this. You mentioned not compelling a trustee to look into public benefits. In Shirley's paper, the SNT trustee as super fiduciary, she highlights 4 recent cases that everybody needs to go read that paper. It's great, the cases, but one of them, the matter of J.P. Morgan. You know, the trustee said, we lack institutional capacity to ascertain what the benefits were, so we didn't pay for anything. We were, you know, analysis paralysis or something, and the court hammered them for that. They didn't like that. Also, in Renee's paper, the NALA Journal article, on page 131 of that article, everyone write that down, she talks about drafting to protect the trustee in order to get trustees who are willing to serve because there is some protection for them, you know, in some respects, not to absolve them from all, you know, wrongs. And then Bobby Flowers, one of the documents we have in here for people is the her ethics paper from Stetson that Bobby always does. And on page 8 of that, she talks about drafting for this trust protector that you talked about, some of the issues with a trust protector. So that's good. And if we have any other questions, we'll bring them back around, Vincent. You don't hang up yet. So now we're going to talk about due diligence and in administering the trust. And Harry Margolis is going to take us into that topic.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. And you mentioned of J.P. Morgan reminds me of a trust that we actually took over the trusteeship of, where J.P. Morgan took the opposite view, which they basically just distributed funds to the parents to support the parents without looking into the beneficiary's needs at all. So I guess they can argue both sides. But I'm going to talk about the role of trustee.